Quality sleep is essential, and that's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. So you can choose what's right for you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature. Quiets their snores. Sleep Number does that. Sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on Sleep Number limited edition smart beds for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
This is CNN Breaking News.
Welcome to our viewers here in the United States and around the world. I'm Wolf Blitzer with the Situation Room. We're following breaking news. The U.S. coronavirus death toll has now just topped 220,000 people with more than 8.2 million confirmed cases. And tonight, one health expert is warning that the darkest weeks of the pandemic still lie ahead. But even as the country moves into the second wave, President Trump is repeatedly lashing out at top infectious disease expert Dr. Anthony Fauci, mocking him, slamming his media appearances, and calling him, and I'm quoting the president right now, a disaster and an idiot. The president campaigning right now in the critical battleground state of Arizona, where Republicans have won every presidential election over the last 70 years except one. But it's now actually up for grabs. And a Trump campaign advisor tells CNN, and I'm quoting him now, time is running out. We're tracking the race to 270 electoral votes, with the election just 2 weeks from tomorrow and more than 28 million ballots already cast here in the United States. Let's get straight to the White House first. Our chief White House correspondent, Jim Acosta, is on the scene for us. Jim, 220,000 Americans dead in this pandemic, and the president is actually stepping up his attacks on one of the country's most respected health experts. It makes no sense at all.
It really doesn't, Wolf. With little more than 2 weeks until the election, President Trump is blasting Dr. Anthony Fauci. The president told campaign staffers today that Fauci is a, quote, disaster, even though the doctor is much more trusted on the coronavirus than Mr. Trump is. Some inside the campaign are questioning the president's decision to pick on Fauci, with one advisor telling me, quote, time is running out for Mr. Trump to turn things around for his campaign. Yet the president is attacking Joe Biden, saying he will listen to Fauci. Biden responded to that earlier today by tweeting one word. Yes.
With Election Day fast approaching, President Trump sounds like he's running not against Democrat Joe Biden, but against the man who's arguably the nation's most trusted health expert on the coronavirus, Dr. Anthony Fauci.
I don't want to hurt him. He's been there for about 350 years.
The president began his day of attacks on Fauci on a call with campaign staffers.
People are tired of COVID. I have the biggest rallies. People are saying, whatever, just leave us alone. They're tired of it. People are tired of hearing Fauci and all these idiots. Fauci's a disaster. If I listened to him, we'd have 500,000 deaths.
Fauci got under the president's skin, appearing on 60 Minutes, where the infectious diseases expert said he wasn't surprised when Mr. Trump contracted COVID-19.
I was worried that he was going to get sick when I saw him in a completely precarious situation of crowded, no separation between people, and almost nobody wearing a mask. Nothing good can come out of that. That's got to be a problem. And then sure enough, it turned out to be a super spreader event.
Drawing thousands of supporters who aren't wearing masks, the president is on an anti-science crusade at his rallies, accusing Biden of siding with the experts on the virus.
Biden wants to lock it down. He wants to listen to Dr. Fauci.
He'll listen to the scientists. If I listened totally to the scientists, we would right now have a country that would be in a massive depression.
Biden responded to that charge of listening to the scientists with one word on Twitter, yes. Contrast that with Fauci, who says he's been muzzled by the White House.
You know, I think there has been a restriction, John, but it doesn't, it isn't consistent.
The president snapped back at that remark, too.
He gets a lot of television. He loves being on television, and we let him do it. Sometimes he says things that are a little bit off, and they get built up, unfortunately.
But sources have told CNN for weeks that the president has opted to listen to the questionable advice coming from another doctor on the coronavirus task force, Scott Atlas, who tweeted a post that said, masks work? No. A comment removed by Twitter because it violated the social media platform's rules, as most experts believe masks are effective. Atlas has become such a lightning rod, The Washington Post reported task force coordinator Dr. Deborah Birx complained to the vice president's office about him. In the meantime, the president is escalating his attacks on Biden.
Joe Biden is a criminal, and he's been a criminal for a long time, and you're a criminal in the media for not reporting it.
Biden is asking voters to reject the president on character grounds.
The words of a president matter. The words this president has used that our children have heard, our sons and our daughters, have been despicable.
A Trump advisor questioned the president's decision to attack Fauci 2 weeks before the election, saying the campaign is already struggling to keep up with Biden's massive spending advantage, adding, "Time is running out. Being outspent is a problem. No one ever thought we'd be outspent. Time is our enemy." The president is more confident.
"We're going to win. I wouldn't have said that 3 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago. I don't know. I wouldn't have said it."
Now, Trump advisor said the president's attacks are on Fauci are, quote, not smart as they remind Americans of the pandemic. That's the one issue campaign officials don't want to talk about right now. As polls show, the public has largely rejected Mr. Trump's handling of the virus. The president's campaign is also complaining about some of the subjects selected for Thursday's debate with Joe Biden. One of those topics being the coronavirus, and campaign officials are also unhappy that the debate commission is considering some rule changes for the debate, Wolf, saying any move to mute the president's mic on Thursday evening would be, quote, completely unacceptable. And of course, as we all remember, Wolf, it was the president who did most of the interrupting at that first debate with Joe Biden.
Yeah, that Wolf. Debate scheduled for Thursday night. We'll see if it actually happens between now and Thursday. Lots could change. Jim Acosta at the White House, thank you. Let's get some more on the breaking pandemic news that we're following. CNN's Brian Todd is working this part of the story for us. Brian, experts, they're voicing very serious concern about the coming few weeks where they anticipate it could get a whole lot worse.
That's right, Wolf. One of the nation's top experts, Michael Osterholm, says the next 6 to 12 weeks will be the, quote, darkest days of the entire pandemic. A former FDA commissioner is saying something similar, saying there's really no backstop against the threads of the virus that we're seeing right now. Tonight, Americans are getting some serious warnings that their behavior has to change as we get deeper into the fall. In Denver, people playing pickup basketball in a city park, not wearing masks, despite the mayor's new orders that city residents now have to wear masks, even in outdoor settings, if they're with anyone who's not in their household.
We're higher than we've ever been over the course of this pandemic.
Colorado is one of 12 American states now seeing their highest seven-day averages. Another is Illinois, where Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot has a warning for residents if they don't see a dramatic turnaround in their numbers, and soon.
We will not hesitate to take the steps that are necessary to save our city, to save our residents, and even if that means going back to some of our phase three restrictions.
Experts say the fall surge of coronavirus has arrived, and the numbers bear that out. 27 states now trending up in new cases reported. The number of new cases per day is up 40% over the past month, with the U.S. averaging more than 55,000 new cases each day.
The virus has now seeded every part of the country, so it is going to be very difficult to completely stop it. But what we need to do now is seriously to hunker down more than ever in the things with the things that we know work, which are to wear masks, wash our hands, and socially distance.
One of America's top experts spares nothing in his assessment of the period the country is entering.
The next 6 to 12 weeks are going to be the darkest of the entire pandemic. Vaccines will not become available in any meaningful way until early to third quarter of next year. And even then, half the U.S. population at this point is skeptical of even taking the vaccine.
In Wisconsin, still experiencing devastating spikes, a top health official says many residents of the state still don't get the danger.
Unfortunately, there's an alarming lack of understanding about this disease, and unfortunately, a lot of people still think it's a hoax. So 50% of the population refuses to wear a mask.
In Houston this morning, young children arrived at school as the district begins a phased approach to in-person learning.
What was most impressive is our students getting off the bus with their mask on, as you could tell, and some of them had masks that we had provided, or some of them had their own masks.
But in Atlanta, school officials, citing unfavorable trends in the virus, are postponing in-person learning until January. Despite precautions like that, America's top voice on the pandemic, said today one of the reasons America has been the country hardest hit by this virus is because it didn't shut down as early or as strictly as European countries did.
We know now that we are living through a historic pandemic, the likes of which we have not experienced as a civilization in the last 102 years.
Still, Dr. Anthony Fauci says a nationwide lockdown is not the way forward unless, he says, the pandemic gets, quote, really, really bad. He says we should put the idea of a shutdown away for now and instead have a nationwide resolve to use the recommended public health measures, get the nation back on track and bring some of these horrific fall numbers down. Wolf, it's got to start now.
Yeah, it certainly does. Brian Todd reporting for us. Thank you. Let's get some more on all of this. Our chief medical correspondent, Dr. Sanjay Gupta, is joining us. Sanjay, you had a chance to speak with Dr. Fauci earlier today, the same day, and it's hard to believe that the president of the United States was attacking him, calling him, and I'm even reluctant to use these words, a disaster, saying people are tired of hearing Fauci, this is a quote, and all these idiots. Can you believe the president of the United States is calling the nation's most respected infectious disease expert an idiot? What's your reaction to that? You've known Dr. Fauci for years.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know if it's disbelief anymore, Wolf. It would have been disbelief a few months ago. I mean, this is it's obviously just totally ridiculous and uncivil. You know, I was speaking to Dr. Fauci today because we were at the National Academy of Medicine meeting. That is a nonprofit organization that is widely considered to be one of the most authoritative, objective, scientifically balanced medical organizations in the world. And Dr. Fauci was getting a exemplary leadership award from that organization. So on one hand, the nation's, really the world's scientists are awarding Dr. Fauci this really, you know, important honor, giving him this honor. And at the same time, the president is referring to him as an idiot. I mean, I don't know how much more stark you can get than that in terms of actually where we are in this country from a scientific standpoint. Politically, sure. But science and non-science, I don't think I've ever seen it so divided as I see it right now, Wolf.
Doesn't he realize that the medical community in the United States, as well as the public at large, trust Dr. Fauci? They certainly trust him a lot more than they trust the president when it comes to the coronavirus.
Yeah, right. And you know, when I was speaking to Dr. Fauci today, there's this, I think, false narrative that, you know, say the scientists are all saying you got to shut everything down. He's not, as Brian Todd was just reporting, that's not what Dr. Fauci is saying. But what he is saying is that if you do five things, you know, which don't involve shutting things down, wearing masks, maintaining physical distance, staying away from crowded indoor places like bars, washing your hands, basic things like that, you could start to bend this curve down. I mean, it's pretty remarkable that the same set of people who say we absolutely don't want to shut things down again won't be willing to do anything to prevent that from happening. So it's scientifically based, Wolf. I mean, this is a novel virus. Nobody knew everything about this virus from the very start. That's why it's a novel virus. But, you know, the data is pretty clear in terms of how effective these things can be now. I mean, there are places around the world, Wolf, as you well know, we talk about on your program a lot, that count their cases in the hundreds. Not the hundreds of thousands or millions. So it's totally doable without a vaccine to be in a very, very different, much more normal looking state of affairs than we are now. And it would not have been that hard. Problem is that the disease has spread, the infection has spread. So it does require more aggressive treatment the sicker the patient is. And in this case, the country is the patient.
Let's talk about the big picture, Sanjay. Here in the United States, many states are reporting record high new cases. When you spoke to Dr. Fauci earlier today about these surges, did he suggest that we'd be in this position if we had just followed the White House's own criteria, for reopening the economy?
Right. No, that's exactly right. He said that we could be in a very different position. I think we have the gating criteria. Well, if you remember the gating criteria, I mean, they came and went just like that because no one really paid attention to them. But basically, it was this criteria by which you could start to reopen things. We're going back to March now. If we have it, we can show it. But basically, lowering cases for 14 days in a row, downward trend. Hospital visits going down 14 days in a row. Making sure that you have adequate testing in place and that you're not in a crisis situation in the hospitals. If we had done that, 2 weeks, Wolf, just 2 weeks of that. And why is that so important? Because, you know, if you have an overall amount of virus, if you follow those gating criteria, you bring the amount of virus to a manageable level. We've always been using this term mitigation, which means to slow things down. What we're describing there is containment, where you feel like you can actually get your arms and hands around the virus. We just never did it. So the virus continued to spread, and we can't even really dream about containment at this point. We're still just trying to keep up with things.
Yeah, 20% of the deaths in the world from coronavirus here in the United States, even though we're, 4 or 5% of the world's population, we have more deaths than any other country in the world. It's so, so sad. Sanjay, I know you'll be back with us. Don't go too far away. Up next, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's deadline for an economic stimulus deal is approaching as millions of Americans grow increasingly desperate. Plus, as the president campaigns in Arizona, Tucson's mayor is pleading with the Trump campaign to comply with the city's coronavirus guidelines. She's standing by live. We'll discuss what's going on. Lots of news happening right now, right here in The Situation. Only 15 days until the November 3rd election here in the United States. More than 28 million Americans have already voted, and millions more will be voting over the next 15 days. This is a record across so much of the United States. Let's get the very latest from CNN's Pamela Brown.
There's a chance that your voice is not going to be counted. Why risk it?
Just 15 days to go, and many voters are taking no chances. Already, more than 28 million votes have been cast nationwide, that number representing almost 20% of the more than 136 million total ballots cast 4 years ago. As of Friday, ballots are now available in all 50 states and D.C., with in-person voting beginning in several key swing states in the coming days.
Morning.
Today, it's getting underway in 52 of Florida's 60 counties, including large ones like Broward, Miami-Dade, and Palm Beach. Not even rainy weather this morning in South Florida could stop voters from lining up before sunrise. For those voting by mail, by midday Monday, more than 2.4 million ballots have been cast in the Sunshine State. That's only about 260,000 ballots fewer than all the mail-in ballots tallied in 2016.
I did have an absentee ballot, but I wasn't comfortable with everything that you hear on the news, so I just decided to come in myself.
30% of ballots coming from Republicans, 49% Democrats, and 20% with no party affiliation, which political experts say is a growing trend in Florida as more voters are turning their backs on both parties. In Georgia, early voting continues to shatter records a week in.
Over the last 7 days, plus so far today, we have seen over 1.5 million voters.
Georgia has seen a massive 653% increase in absentee ballots cast by mail over 2016. Over the weekend, early voting kicked off in Nevada as well.
My wait time was less than a minute. It was just, I just walked in and did what I had to do.
Today in Colorado, vote counting begins, as does in-person voting.
Say this is very incorrect.
Meanwhile, President Trump continues to give Democrats every reason to be concerned about a potential peaceful transfer of power if he were to lose to Joe Biden.
Then they say, if you lose, will you have a friendly transition? I say, I want a fair election.
CNN is now learning that congressional Democrats, the Biden campaign, and outside groups are working on contingency plans behind the scenes, coming up with a two-part strategy in anticipation of that very scenario, preparing for a post-election legal battle and messaging war aimed at combating misinformation about voting.
Pamela Brown reporting for us. Let's discuss what's going on in the state of the U.S. presidential race. Joining us now are CNN political correspondent Abby Phillip and our chief political correspondent Dana Bash. Dana, with just what? A little bit more than 2 weeks from tomorrow, exactly 2 weeks until Election Day, the president is actually attacking Dr. Fauci, calling him a disaster, saying the death toll would be much higher if he had actually listened to Dr. Fauci, which is totally crazy to hear that coming from the president of the United States. Is that really his closing message right now, to go on the attack against Dr. Fauci?
It's certainly the message that he wants out there, given the fact that the president did this, as you said, on a call with members of his campaign staff, but kind of, you know, said on the call, reporters, if you're listening, you can report that I'm saying this. I mean, there's no other way to read this other than the president wants this out there in a very aggressive way. And I can tell you, in talking to some people around him, they're not happy about that, because there is very little chance that people who are not already decided, there are not a lot of people that aren't already decided to vote for Donald Trump, that will hear that message and say, you know what, I also think Dr. Fauci is terrible. I'm going to go vote for Donald Trump. I mean, it's just, it's not logical, and it certainly is not supported by any basis of fact when it comes to the data that people I'm talking to are looking at. Never mind that, I spoke to one source who's familiar with some of that data, who says that if you go back to the beginning of the heart of this pandemic in mid-March, when the president would come out and quote-unquote play doctor on TV, it always hurt him. And there's no other way to interpret him other than playing doctor when he trashes the guy who is the real doctor and has been considered a national treasure by a lot of people who are not part of the core of the Trump base.
And it was only a few days ago, Abby, when the Trump campaign was actually using a soundbite from Dr. Fauci to try to help the president get reelected, even though that soundbite was taken totally out of context. And as you know, one advisor to the president says this attack against Dr. Fauci is not smart, and that for the president, time is running out right now to turn things around. Yet the president is doubling down, warning that Joe Biden would simply listen to Dr. Fauci. Joe Biden says, of course, he would listen to Dr. Fauci. So what's going on from your perspective?
The president seems to be hell-bent on making the case for Joe Biden by using literally the argument that the Biden campaign is trying to get out there. The Biden campaign is saying Biden will listen to the scientists, he'll listen to Dr. Fauci. That's the argument that they think will be the strongest for Biden going into this election. But it's because President Trump is always trying to appeal to the people who are already there for him, who already support him and love him. They are with the president in pushing back on Dr. Fauci. The problem is that's not representative of a majority of the electorate, never mind all of the people in the middle, the suburban women voters and others who have actually been really turned off by the president's handling of this virus. President Trump is doing these rallies, which are potentially super spreader events, because they make him feel good, they make his supporters feel good. But again, it's another case where it's totally out of step with what the persuadable chunk of the electorate wants. You can only come away from all of this by seeing this president as acting mostly in his own interests and based on his own instincts, especially as we go toward the last couple of weeks of this election, which is something that he typically does when he feels like his back is up against the wall.
Yeah, it makes no sense at all from a political, from a campaign perspective, to go on the attack against Dr. Fauci. Abby, thank you very much. Dana, thanks to you as well. There's more breaking news we're following here in the Situation Room. I'll speak with the mayor of Tucson, Arizona, who's warning the Trump campaign to follow the city's social distancing and mask mandates during the president's upcoming political rally there. People are waiting for the president. Clearly, those people aren't honoring those guidelines. We'll be right back. We're following multiple breaking stories here in the Situation Room, including President Trump repeatedly lashing out at Dr. Anthony Fauci, calling him, and I'm quoting the president right now, calling him a disaster and an idiot, even as a top Trump campaign advisor is telling CNN that attacking Fauci is, quote, not smart. Joining us now, Democratic Congresswoman Val Demings of Florida, a member of the House Intelligence Committee. Congresswoman, thanks so much for joining us. So let me get your reaction to President Trump's renewed attacks on Dr. Fauci, as hundreds of Americans are dying from this virus every single day. What do you make of the president's totally unfounded, crazy attacks against the nation's most respected infectious disease expert?
Well, Wolf, it's good to be back with you. And let me just say this. We're only a couple of weeks out from the election, and I believe the president is desperate, and we do know that desperate people do desperate things. What I can tell you is that my faith is still with the medical experts, the scientists, and the researchers, of which Dr. Fauci is all of those. I think he served with, I know he served with multiple administrations. I believe it's been around six. And so Dr. Fauci is doing exactly what he needs to do to protect the American people, because obviously that is his primary responsibility. But I think it's quite clear to me, and it should be quite clear to the American people, that the president's primary responsibility is re-election. And so, you know, it should surprise us all, but it really doesn't surprise me, because the president is quite worried about November 3rd.
Yeah, but even from his perspective, trying to get reelected, attacking Dr. Fauci in a brutal way like this is not going to help him. I suspect it's only going to hurt.
Not.
It's only going to hurt his reelection chances.
Well, but he does not understand that, Wolf. As we all know, as we've all witnessed the last 4 years, this president attacks any and everybody who does not agree with him. Even those who are just trying to do their jobs, even those who are experts in their field. If you don't agree with this president, he attacks you. And somehow, maybe that worked for him 4 years ago. It will certainly not work now that we have about roughly 220,000 people who have lost their lives.
As you know, because you live there, more than 16,000 Floridians have died from coronavirus. That number is growing every single day. What goes through your mind and the minds of your constituents when you hear the president simply dismiss this deadly pandemic, saying, and I'm quoting the president right now, people are tired of COVID?
Well, I tell you what, Wolf, those 16,000 families here in Florida who have an empty chair at their tables, an empty chair during the upcoming holidays, they're certainly not tired of COVID. They want leadership that will do something about it. Leadership that's strategic, unified, and based on science. And so I just, again, what comes out of this president's mouth, we've learned a long time ago now to really not listen to. But the people here on the ground in Florida are focused. We had some long lines today, even in inclement weather. And I believe people are tired of the lack of leadership. They're tired of a president who buries his head in the sand and pretend that if he doesn't talk about a problem, maybe it will go away. And while we take nothing for granted here in the Sunshine State, we're certainly very optimistic about the outcome of the election on November 3rd.
Yeah, President Trump did carry Florida 4 years ago. He desperately needs to carry Florida this time. If he doesn't carry Florida this time, it's going to be almost impossible to see how he gets to that magic number of 270 electoral votes. We'll watch Florida very closely together with you, Congresswoman. Let me quickly turn to these ongoing economic stimulus talks between the House Speaker and the White House. She is set tomorrow as a deadline to reach a deal before the election. At this point, are you comfortable with your party continuing to hold out for a deal that checks all the boxes, or do you feel it's your responsibility to secure at least some kind of relief for so many of your constituents who are suffering right now?
Well, if you know, COVID-19 is something that we have never seen before, and it certainly requires us all to do some things we've never done before. Look, we certainly thought that we would be on the other side, if you will, of the virus by now. Certainly, we are not there. Matter of fact, as you well know, unfortunately, we're seeing numbers increase. I know my constituents have been hit hard. I hear from them every day here in the district. I know people all over this country have been hit hard, or small businesses. And I really do believe that the speaker is fighting for relief that's meaningful, relief that matters for people who find themselves in a horrible place through no fault of their own. As you know, our leadership has been at the negotiation table for weeks now. Of course, we passed the HEROES Act 5 months ago. I believe that the speaker is going to hang in there and try to get the best relief for people who are suffering. And I am certainly hoping that the Republicans, the GOP, and the president will join in that effort. Our primary responsibility is the health, safety, and well-being of the people we represent. We need to get this right, and we have an opportunity to do just that.
Let's hope they do, because you're absolutely right. People are suffering big time right now. Congresswoman Val Demings, thanks so much for joining us. Good luck. Stay safe over there.
Thank you. You too, Wolf. Take care.
Thank you. Coming up, the mayor of Tucson, Arizona, who warned the Trump campaign to follow the city's social distancing and mask mandates during the president's upcoming campaign rally. Stick around. We have new information for you. President Trump will be holding a rally soon in Tucson, Arizona. And take a look at this. These are live pictures coming in. A few people are wearing masks. Apparently, no social distancing at all, even though Tucson's mayor wrote a letter to the Trump campaign asking for compliance with the city's coronavirus guidelines, which specifically include a mask mandate. The mayor of Tucson, Regina Romero, is joining us right now. Mayor, thank you so much for joining us. And as you know better than anyone, Tucson saw a huge surge of the virus over the summer, but new cases have come down significantly from their peak. Do you worry, though, that this presidential rally in your city potentially, God forbid, but potentially could erase all that progress?
Absolutely, Wolf. Thank you so much for inviting me. And Tucsonans have really suffered tremendously. And we've worked very hard to bring down the cases of COVID-19 in our city. As you well know and just mentioned, we were a hotspot. Arizona was a hotspot in the world of cases, of COVID-19 cases. And so we've worked too hard. A lot of sacrifices done by families here in Tucson and restaurants and entertainment venues and small businesses so that we get a super spreader event here in our community, and COVID-19 cases come out of that rally and into the community, and we see cases spiking again.
So what's been your interaction with the Trump campaign over this rally, Mayor, and the issue of social distancing, masks? What did you say to them, and what did you hear in reply?
Well, my letter to President Trump and his campaign were first to welcome him to the city of Tucson and to tell him two things. One, that we need his leadership and for him to lead by example and wear a mask, and to ask the attendants in the rally to do the same and to comply with CDC guidelines. In the city of Tucson, we passed a mandatory mask ordinance after the governor had preempted mayors throughout Arizona. He did come in and allowed us to pass mandatory mask ordinances. After we passed those ordinances, 75% of the cases came down. And so we have worked too hard as Tucsonans, too many sacrifices to have a super spreader event and see those cases rise up. We are already seeing cases throughout the country, and here in Arizona, we're seeing spikes up. And so that's one. Two, that the Trump campaign came to Tucson in 2016. They used our convention center and left a bill of about $85,000. And so we welcomed the president to Tucson, Arizona. But this is not an official presidential visit. This is a campaign visit. And as you all well know, that federal elections commission rules and laws prohibit governments to either support or contribute to a candidate or a candidate's campaign. And so we do not want the taxpayers of the city of Tucson paying for an event that is purely campaign related. And so that's what the second point in my letter to the president was for. And unfortunately, I have not heard back. And as a matter of fact, contrary to my recommendations to the president and his campaign, we are seeing crowds of five. We're hearing maybe even 10,000 people at the Tucson airport. And unfortunately, not a lot of mask wearing is happening right now.
We were showing our viewers live pictures, thousands of people gathering to hear the president of the United States. No social distancing, few masks. And potentially, God forbid, it could be a super spreader event. All these folks are going to go back home and potentially, look at these pictures coming in, potentially spread this virus. We hope it doesn't happen, but it is so, so concerning. Good luck, Mayor Romero. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. Really appreciate it, Wolf.
Thank you. Stay safe out there. Coming up, a new coronavirus restrictions in Europe as the number of cases across the continent are surging right now. We'll get the COVID headlines from around the world. That's next. As global coronavirus cases now top 40 million, we take a closer look at some of the pandemic headlines from around the world. European leaders are dealing with an increasing opposition to the coronavirus restrictions. CNN's Salma Abdelaziz is covering all of this from Manchester, England. Salma, tell us more.
Wolf, while coronavirus cases surge across Europe, leaders are facing tough resistance from towns and regions fighting back against new measures. Here in Manchester in the UK, the local authorities are locked in a bitter dispute with the central government over their plans to raise the coronavirus alert level of the city. The Prime Minister has actually issued an ultimatum. In Germany, a Berlin court sided against the government and four businesses over a nighttime curfew for restaurants and bars. And in Spain, a Madrid court rejected new lockdown rules, leaving millions wondering whether or not they could travel for holiday. In the Czech Republic, police fired tear gas at anti-mask demonstrators. All of this happening while several European countries record their highest case numbers yet. Wolf.
All right, be careful over there. Salma Abdelaziz in Manchester, England. China, meanwhile, is reporting rapid economic growth as the country digs out of a slowdown caused by the pandemic. CNN's Selena Wang has details for us. Selena.
Wolf, while the world is dealing with the worst economic crisis since the Great Depression, China's economy grew 4.9% in the third quarter. In fact, China will be the only major economy to grow this year. Compare that to the U.S. economy, which is expected to shrink more than 4% this year. This is a reminder that until a country has contained COVID-19, the economy cannot recover. There are no shortcuts. And so far, China's strategy of mass testing, contact tracing, and restrictions appears to have worked. People are spending again, too, with retail sales growing more than 3% in September. But like other countries, the pandemic has also disproportionately affected China's poor. Millions of people lost their jobs in China during the pandemic, and China's numbers do not give us the full picture of how many people are still jobless. Wolf?
Selena Wang in Hong Kong, thank you. Coming up, the U.S. coronavirus death toll has just surpassed 220,000 people, and one health expert is now warning that the coming weeks will be the darkest yet of the pandemic.
You work next level. And when you play next level. And when it's time to sleep, Sleep Number smart beds are designed to embrace your uniqueness, providing you with high-quality sleep every night. Sleep next level. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, the Queen Sleep Number C4 smart bed is only $1,599. Save $300 for a limited time, only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com. Prices higher in Alaska and Hawaii. Quality sleep is essential, and that's why the Sleep Number smart bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. So you can choose what's right for you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature. Quiets their snores. Sleep Number does that. Sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on Sleep Number limited edition smart beds for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.